Welcome to the Our CAR T-Cell Journey podcast. We'll talk to real patients and their caregivers as they're going through this treatment that is providing hope where before there was little. I'm your host, Diane Windsor, and my son, Brendan, is a 20-year-old leukemia patient. We are very hopeful and optimistic that CAR T will save his life. Please forgive the traffic noises that you'll hear in this episode. I recorded it on my drive home from work, and so you'll hear my blinker quite frequently. Thank you. Hello. Welcome to this episode. This is Diane. I'm your host, and I'm Brendan's mom. Today is Tuesday, October 16th, and we're getting ready for our T-cell collection this week, so that'll be exciting. But today, I'd like to finish telling you the story about Brendan's attempt at chemotherapy. So we finished up in Minneapolis on July 25th, got on a plane on the 26th, and headed home to Dallas. He did wear a mask on the plane. You know, it's really a tube full of germs, so we wanted to be somewhat careful. And he was pretty tired. He didn't use a wheelchair in the airport. We got home to Dallas late afternoon, stopped by Jamba Juice for a smoothie, and then we had a very nice dinner of grilled chicken. Of course, the whole time, I'm taking Brendan's temperature a lot, because that's what you're supposed to do. And if you ever notice that it's above 100.4, you need to call the doctor and possibly take him to the hospital. So guess what? After a nice dinner, we're all, you know, relaxing, watching some TV. I'm taking his temperature. It's 99 point something. I'm like, okay, great. I'm not panicking yet because it could still go down. But the next time I take it, it was 100.1. It's like, that is not a good sign. And so a little while later, took it again, and it was time to call the doctor. So by this time, it's like 9 o'clock at night, and I have to take him to the Dallas Children's Hospital, which is about 40 miles away from where we live. Maybe 30. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe 30. And so we get in the car and we end up at the ER at the hospital. They take us into an isolated room right away because of Brendan's previous MRSA diagnosis. They're really careful about that stuff, especially in an emergency room full of kids and parents. So we're in this room. It's about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. And, you know, all kinds of tests are being done. They say that they're working on getting him a bed. He's going to be admitted. And he isn't admitted until like 2 o'clock in the morning. So, and then that begins our, you know, next journey as an inpatient, this time in Dallas instead of in Minneapolis. So they're simply continuing to treat the MRSA because you have to be on a high dose of IV antibiotics, super powerful stuff, until it's completely gone, until the complete culture is completely clear. And that really didn't take too long. That it cleared up pretty quickly. It was already pretty cleared up. I think they were just being cautious. Starting chemo, and he was also starting a dasatinib trial. So he was on the clinical trial for dasatinib, which is already an FDA-approved medication, but for chronic leukemia. But because Brendan has the Philadelphia-like chromosome, there was evidence that showed that the dasatinib could be useful in combating that type of ALL, that type of leukemia. So the way the doctors were talking about it, they were thinking that this was kind of the magic pill that was really going to be helpful to Brendan. A couple days maybe just a day after he was admitted to Dallas Children's, he started getting a rash. And it started on his head and it traveled all the way down his body. He was just covered with little red bumps. And everybody was afraid that it was caused by the dasatinib because he hadn't been taking that before. But then it turned out, then it, you know, after a long time, I want to say like 10 days, it finally went away. And they think it was an antibiotic rash. They're pretty sure it was brought on by the antibiotic Bactrim. So he gets on his dasatinib again. That's a pill that he would take every day, probably for like 3 years or so, well into the maintenance phase of his treatment. He was having weekly lumbar punctures, spinal taps, because that's just part of the protocol at this stage, known as consolidation. And he was getting really antsy, really stir crazy, lots of cabin fever, and I don't blame him because the poor kid couldn't leave his room. He wasn't just stuck on a hospital or on a hospital floor. He couldn't leave his stinking room. And this was because of that MRSA diagnosis. They're just so, you know, concerned that it could potentially spread to another kid in the hospital, that he was stuck there. And every medical professional who entered the hospital room, they always gowned up and gloved up. So they had to put on the paper gowns and the rubber gloves every single time. Because, you know, they didn't want to spread it to somebody else, possibly. So what we were waiting for was for Brendan's counts to come up. And for any of you who have been through any cancer treatment, I'm sure you're familiar with the terms neutropenic and neutrophils, or absolute neutrophil count. If your neutrophils are really low, then you are neutropenic, which means you're extremely susceptible to some kind of infection. They would let Brendan go home once his neutrophils were at a level of 500 or higher. And it was taking a really long time for them to get up there. On August 13th, that was a Monday, he had a bone marrow biopsy. And it was actually scheduled for the following Monday, August 20th, but we were both really antsy to get him out of there as soon as possible. And the doctors were really cool about it. And one of them said, you know, we could do the biopsy a week early and see where you're at, just to see. And Brendan was like, yeah, let's go ahead and do that, because he wanted to know how he was doing. So that was done, and we got the wonderful results that there was only 0.5% of leukemia cells left in his bone marrow. And we were both really happy about that. The doctor was super optimistic. He said that Brendan didn't need another bone marrow biopsy the following week because the results were so good. We were just going to go with that test result. So that was cool. Then on Saturday, August 18th, the attending oncologist comes into the room and she's chit-chatting with us. And she's like, you know, if you guys want to go home today, I can do the lumbar puncture right here and I'll cut you loose. And we're like, okay, let's do that. That sounds like a great idea. So they were optimistic enough because of those biopsy results. And his neutrophil count was not exactly where they would have liked it to be, but it was certainly headed in the right direction. So they were like, Brendan can go home. Brendan's going crazy. His mother is going even crazier. So they were very happy and made us very happy, and they let him go home after that lumbar puncture. So that was August 18th, and then we started outpatient treatment. We live in Allen, Texas, and there's a clinic at Plano, Children's Medical Center of Plano, which is a heck of a lot closer than Children's of Dallas. So we were very happy to go there. During the next 6 weeks, yep, it was 6 weeks, we went to that clinic at least once a week for chemo or for labs. He certainly needed whole blood transfusions a few times because his hemoglobin was really low. And anytime it's below 8, I think they're going to want to give him a transfusion. And he hit that a few times because he was still getting a heck of a lot of chemo. He was on pills. He was getting infusions. There were several times when I had to inject him with cytarabine, which I think he seemed to have the biggest problem with that because cytarabine really affected his counts and his neutrophils just plummeted during that time. But we got through it, and we got to October 3rd when we had the final biopsy. Now on October 3rd, this was the bone marrow biopsy that was going to determine our next steps. There needed to be less than 0.01% of leukemia cells in Brendan's bone marrow in order to determine that the chemo is doing what it was supposed to be doing. Now, I was very optimistic because a couple of weeks prior to that, Brendan's neutrophil count was 220. The following week, it was 4,000. And I'm like, and it, even the, you know, the medical pros were saying this. Bone marrow that has leukemia in it probably wouldn't produce those kind of neutrophil counts. I mean, he just bounced back within a week and it was fantastic. So we were super duper optimistic that it was doing what it needed to be doing. So that was Wednesday, October 3rd. And on Friday, October 5th, we went in just to get the results of that biopsy. And we got the news that there was still 0.45% of leukemia cells in the bone marrow. And so that determined that chemo is not working, Brendan is not responding to the chemo, and it was time to look at CAR T cell therapy. So that wasn't the outcome that we had hoped for. And as a mom, honestly, I took it pretty hard. I wanted Brendan to respond to the treatment that works for the vast majority of kids, which is chemo. I didn't want to have to go to Plan B. Plan B didn't give me a whole bunch of warm and fuzzies. But here we are. And the more I learn about CAR T cell therapy, the more I talk to the doctors, the more I think that at some point in the future, that's going to be the first therapy that they use, the first protocol that is used for kids with this type of leukemia. Because they don't have to go through all of the, you know, the side effects that chemo causes. And the success rate seems to be extremely positive, extremely hopeful. My understanding is that it is just such a new treatment, even though it is FDA approved, it's only been approved for a little over a year. And in order for insurance to cover it, the doctors have to ensure that, yes, we've tried this route first, but he didn't respond to it, so now it's time for CAR T cell therapy. I saw a number that it cost like $475,000. So, you know, our wonderful insurance companies want to make sure that everything has been done first. So I am very optimistic and hopeful. I'm hearing a lot of great results from a lot of people, particularly with Brendan's type of leukemia, B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia with a Philadelphia-like chromosome. In CAR T cell therapy news this week, I am learning that there are many, many people from other countries coming to the U.S. for treatment. And in line with that price tag that I just mentioned, they are raising around $600,000 in order to come over here, pay for the treatment, and also travel expenses, of course, because they have to be close to the hospital. They can't just get their infusion and then go home. They're going to be here for probably 3, 4, 5 months, maybe, because they want to see if it's working too, right? So it's just amazing to me. I know of a little boy, 4 years old, from Australia, who was in the United States recently. There's a little boy in the United Kingdom, and somebody from New Zealand. So these families are bringing their kids here to have their lives saved. And that's what we're doing for Brendan, too. Saving his life. My friend Julie today at work, she was funny. When I was explaining this process to her, she's like, yeah, so they're going to take the T-cells out of Brendan, and they're going to send him off to military training. And they're going to create these super Navy SEAL soldier cells to fight the leukemia. And, you know, during that month, they're going to have to go through their boot camp, and they're going to have to, you know, clean their guns and go through all their training and pack up their packs. And so they're all ready to get back to Brendan and start their mission. I'm like, okay, that's a great analogy. So this week we're gonna collect those Army recruits or Navy recruits or whatever branch of the military they happen to be with, and we're gonna get them trained and bring them on home in a few weeks to do their job. So until next time, I will let you know how T-cell collection went. You can always find me at motinabooks.com, MOTINA books. Feel free to reach out.